welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name's Adam Cook, and this promise I give you now, there will be no penises on this episode. Gary Bailey is out, and make of that sentence what you will.
Hang on a minute. I've been called on to this podcast under false pretenses.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Nick. There's just... We can't happen again. Last week was an anomaly. You can hear, though, as I say, Gary Bailey not here. Nicola Ardron is here. Do I say your name correctly?
Yes, you do say it correctly. Yes, I am here. I'm not sure I want to be now.
I think she's making it worse. What do you think, Adam?
Carol.
I don't know why I said Carol. I'm obviously not talking to myself, but sure.
I'm still trying to get over what happened last week, but you know, let's just roll with
it. Listen, right, I think last week was genuinely one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to, and I was on it, which is, some would say arrogant, but that's how I feel. Chris White, what did you think of last week's podcast? There's no games, no one's played anything, so let's review last week's podcast.
I would say the penises were fantastic. I'm a bit jealous of yours. It was magnificent.
Yeah.
However,
I remember that.
It was nice recording in the same room, definitely in the same room as everyone. Definitely. I say there's no games to talk about. It's a weird sort of period because it's pre-E3, and I mean there are games that we can't talk about yet. So take a guess. You probably can guess what they are. But that's the way embargoes work. But there are also games being announced, games being shown off in some form. And Chris, we'll start with you because you went all the way to London. To see a video game. And I say that very cautiously because I've chosen my words deliberately there. You went to see a video game, Chris.
I did go to see it, yeah.
While people in America were actually playing it, not for long, but you got to see it.
No, and those 35 minutes, I'll treasure them.
How long did it take you to get to London, Chris?
Well, it give and take, walking to the train station, walking to the event.
Ballpark.
About 4 hours in total.
And there and back?
There and back, sorry.
So 4 hours round trip.
Yeah, and then half an hour to an hour.
To see, not play, see, 35 minutes of a game?
Yeah.
And don't anyone ever tell me that Patreon dollar is not being spent wisely. That's all I'm saying. Chris, Ghost Recon Breakpoint is sounding to me like a Ghost Recon game, but I didn't... see it. Well, I've seen the trailers now, but you saw it before me.
Do you know what? When I
games industry is fucking stupid. Let's just say it.
When I got there, I thought like they're showing me this, and then they're doing a reveal, and then I was thinking, well, is the reveal this fucking thing I've come to? Because why is there an embargo in place to talk about it? So I still don't know what happened.
Tweeting about like Ghost Recon reveal, and I was like, this is. Under embargo, isn't it? And then
but do you want to know something else, right? On the window outside the event.
No.
So at 10, 11 in the morning, there was a big sticker on the window with a Ghost Recon logo that said Ghost Recon reveal tonight at 7:30.
Okay.
I actually took a photo of it just because I couldn't believe it.
Not being funny, like obviously Chris and I were involved in you know, I organised Chris's attendance, Chris went there. Adam, Nicola, did you, like, on the Twitter or anything, know this was happening? Because it all happened a bit quick, so I didn't have a chance to even... I hadn't even told Mick Fraser, who was going to be editing the piece. I'd forgotten. It all happened a bit quick.
No.
We're going to be revealing the future of Ghost Recon on... No? Nothing?
No. There was some... I vaguely recall seeing some excitement about something and people going, oh, Splinter Cell. But is that unrelated?
Well, the Splinter Cell games, Blacklist?
Conviction with the last one. Yeah,
they got you know how Microsoft do like the 4K updates for some backwards compatible games? I think Skate was one of the first ones where like they did the work. They did that with the last two Splinter Cell games. And they actually look really nice. I kind of want to play Blacklist. That was a really good game.
It's a good game, man. It's a good game.
So was Conviction and Double Agent on 360 with that multiplayer is a great game. But I don't want to talk about playing them. I want to talk about seeing them, Chris.
And boy, did I see it.
Joking aside, Wildlands, you and I liked. I forget, Nicola, if you enjoyed it or not.
I enjoyed it.
We did play together. You were the helicopter pilot.
Yeah, you were the bloody mentalist in the helicopter.
I've just remembered.
Right. in my defence.
Yeah.
I don't know why you let me drive the helicopter.
Okay. We're all to blame. But it was a decent game. Some liked it more than others.
I enjoyed it.
I sure would be up for... I like the Clancy games, generally, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Well, so yeah, it's another Ghost Recon. It's kind of a sequel, kind of not. It doesn't follow the same story so much. There was a reveal in the trailer which happened last night or whenever, last Thursday.
Time travel, Chris. Time travel.
That Please. Featured John Bernthal, who played the Punisher. He also played Shane in The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. He's a character in the free story DLC. Ghost Recon's Wildlands Oracle or whatever it was. So he's revealed to be the head of this new kind of group of rogue ghost agents who are on this island. So basically there's a scientist who's created this AI machinery with the intent to do the usual, heal the sick, stop poverty, build the economy back up. But surprise, surprise, the AI goes a bit dodgy. We don't know whether it's because it's been planned or whether it's happened by a freak of accident. It didn't really show, didn't really care. I just wanted to see it. So you end up on this island chasing down this AI. And the wolves are what they're called, are the rogue ghost agents. So there's an element of being hunted on this island, which looked quite cool. And there was kind of a survival element to it, but I don't think it's any way... It's no, like, eat food, drink water, that kind of thing. It's not
Christ,
that... Yeah.
That
it's
would
more,
be annoying if it
no,
was.
It's, yeah, yeah, it's yeah. more It's more like... Instead of just using a medical pack to heal, you can, like... You can break your arm or you can get sick and there's ways to deal with it. But, like, Snake Eater.
Because I'm not going to lie... To me, while that sounds cool, it also sort of sounds like not something I'd be into.
Mm. Well, it depends. It all depends on how prevalent a role it plays. Like,
that's what I'm saying. If they don't go all out with it, I kind of don't know why you'd bother.
But I'm fine. Like with Snake Eater, it was never a problem. Like, it never bothered me that I had to do that kind of stuff. Yeah,
do you know what? I was going to say something then, and I've changed my mind. Carry on, Chris. It was an opinion about Snake Eater, but I'm not going to have it right here.
Why?
No.
Why?
No.
Have
it's Kojima.
No.
Why?
I'm not carrying on.
Say it.
Well, you had someone... Nicola, what do you think of Snake Eater?
Never played it.
Oh,
right.
Shit, okay. I am not a huge fan of that game.
That's fine.
I prefer the other Metal Gear Solid games.
As do I.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, hey, wait 2 seconds. Adam Cook, how have we not discussed this? I'm in the exact same boat.
Okay, that's fine. I thought I was the only one in the world, honestly, because the way people
talk
about
it. I was the only one in the world.
Metal Gear 3 is...
I thought I was the only one in the world.
Well, Nicola hasn't even played it.
I haven't even played it, guys.
I think I have said I'm not a big fan of Kojima in terms of the furore around him. The aura around him. I liked Metal Gear Solid on PlayStation. I liked Metal Gear Solid 2. Actually, I really liked Metal Gear Solid 2. And I never finished 4. 5 I thought was amazing, but... Once everyone started talking about how long it was and how it was unfinished, I kind of fell off it. I actually tried to play that again this year, I think, early this year, and I was like in the middle. You know when you boot an open world game up, you haven't played for 8 months, and you try again, and you're like, nah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, but so you're saying like, because I know this has got like, camouflage kind of thing that you can lie in the mud and cover yourself up.
Yeah. So it's just kind of
Ghost Recon again. We're talking about sorry.
Building on some of the basic ideas in Ghost Recon Wildlands, like the gameplay demo starts off with you falling down this hill. You hurt your wrist, so you bandage it up, and you bandage up your leg, and you use a medipack, and then you get up and you kind of follow these enemies, and they're in the woods part of the jungle, like where all the trees are, and you find a big patch of mud, and you lie in it, and then you cover your face up. And the enemy walks past you, even though you can still pick it out. There's still a huge body in the mud.
And the gun, like, pointing out.
Good pointed out, yeah. Yeah. But and then Yeah, exactly. So that was one of the newish features. And then it kind of really kind of shows how... Like, the one thing I picked out from what I saw was with Wildlands, there are ways to take out a compound, but it's pretty straightforward. Like, you could probably just go in the front door, or you could take out the enemies from above and then go and shoot them all, kill them all. They had a full team of four taking out this huge compound in completely different ways. So one of them, the beardy guy, who's always a beardy guy, he's got an assault rifle. He went in to the compound with someone else and kind of took enemies out stealthily. There's another guy with a sniper rifle, but he also had these drones that he used to throw up into the air. He didn't activate them, he just prepped them. So he was kind of stood watching, and he was giving you directions to where the enemies were. And then you had this female soldier who was kind of went round the back and kind of took point with a gun, not using it. When they cleared out the kind of, because the guy with the beard was trying to get to this place where he had a good shot to fire his rocket launcher. So he clears out where he needs to clear out, and then he gets on point with a rocket launcher, and then he all kind of like counts down from three, and they just like the guy with the drone sets them off, and it disables the enemy drones and two soldiers. The rocket launcher goes full into this like vehicle and blows up a load of soldiers around it. The female goes in from the back and like takes all the ones that are like kind of straggling, and then they all kind of close in because they've got to rescue this engineer. And one of the cool things that was is about like healing. Like in Division 2, one of the most frustrating things is trying to heal someone, because if you get shot down openly, it's like you struggle to crawl back behind some cover. Whereas in this, she threw a smoke grenade and then picked up the guy who'd fallen and carried him into like a just behind this building so she could heal him. So that's kind of cool that you don't have to like do it there, and then you can move them and do it. So it does seem like more of the same. However, there's these little tweaks, and then the story looks quite interesting, especially these wolves, they're called, who are like the rogue ghosts. I mean, literally 5 minutes of the trailer was them.
Set, Chris? I mean, it seems to have missed this.
It's set on like a fictional island called Aroa.
Not Ireland.
To be fair, I've been thinking since you wrote that preview that I've been trying to workshop. I know the game's out this year and we got plenty of time, but I've been trying to workshop the strapline pun already. And I'm just, you know, I don't know, that the Isle of Doctor, you know, that film, the Isle of Doctor.
Yeah.
Dr. Drone. It doesn't quite work, but you can see what I'm trying to get to, can't you?
You've still got till October, so we'll get there.
I mean, these things takes a long time to get a good strapline pun. People should know
exactly.
This.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But it I don't know. The one of the things they did point out, which kind of made me think how much work is going to be put into this, is the dev team. Like, they were saying that there was 30 people that worked on Wildlands. Now there's 1,000.
See, I find that a little bit hard to believe that 30 people worked on Wildlands.
I was about to say the same thing.
I
that game was shout.
Or 3,000?
I think it started with 30. And
okay,
then
that
whereas
might be
this one starting with 1,000.
Okay, because Ubisoft games tend to... I mean, we've all seen a Ubisoft games credit sequence.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the idea was workshopped with 30 people, but it does sound like they're trying to make it sound
impressive. I think there's a... It's a lot more about like using your experience more than your weapons and you, because like the term breakpoint, which I mentioned in the preview, it's a military term that's basically used to describe the point where you can't complete your mission, where you're at the point where you've lost and you're just having to kind of get by any way you can to get out, and that's why it's called breakpoint. So there seems to be an emphasis on surviving, not in the typical survival game kind of way, but more in you've got to really use your wits in this jungle.
Like, I was joking about the fact that we got to see it and not play it. Like, obviously, anyone from Ubisoft listening, we're very grateful that we were invited. And Ubisoft are one of my personal favourite developers. I don't think there's a game they've released I haven't tried. Do you know what I mean? Like, they tend to generally, on a broad scale, hit my tastes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Wildlands, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I guess E3, because Ubisoft are still doing a press conference, I'm guessing they're going to show more of this, you know.
Yeah, I would have thought so. And like, as much as I love the look of it, it's a trailer, and I'm always the one that gets hyped by trailers. Not until the game comes out, but like, I genuinely do think it looks good. But again, it's literally just been announced. We've not really seen enough.
No, that's fair.
But like, it was all right. It was worth the travel, maybe.
I'd normally say to you, like, have you played anything? But again, I don't want to know about the things people have played. I want to know what we've seen. And Sony did a State of Play. That's what they're called, aren't they? State of Play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it almost should be closer to Station of Play or such. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Final Fantasy VII. There was other stuff in that State of Play, but I think the big thing was Final Fantasy VII. The remake, obviously, they've shown why they did. I guess it's just a hype trailer, isn't it? To say there's more coming in June. Well, also to kind of it felt like a re-announce to me, like, hey, remember that? That is still happening. So a few things have come out about it since as well, and I bring this up because I'd like to know what people think, but also they have also said it is still episodic. And everything they showed in that trailer, for someone who is a big fan of Seven, which I am, it's one of my favourite games of all time, it's very early. Adam, you'll vouch for this. Everything showed that you see in this new trailer is like very early in the game.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't know what you guys think, but the impression I got is that I don't want to be sort of derogatory, because I don't mean it in a negative way. What I'm seeing is it looks like they did Final Fantasy VII in Final Fantasy XV's engine.
Yep.
And the reason I bring this up, and I don't know how long we'll talk about this, but it's something I just want to get off my chest, and I want you guys to tell me if you think I'm off base or not. So I forget the kind of, you know, we are games critics, if you will, or whatever you want to call what we do. Forget that for a minute, and I'm talking purely as this is one of my favourite games of all time. And in the past, I've said things like, you know, it doesn't devalue the original. The original still exists, and I still stand by all that. But watching this trailer and finally sort of properly seeing what they're doing, what it looks like they're doing with it, I'm a bit confused, because as a fan, I can tell you what I wanted. And I wanted them to take Final Fantasy VII and remake that game in 19 would be nice, but you know what I mean, in the modern era. I didn't want them to change it as such. There's a few bits of like language they need to alter. I wanted them to do kind of what the Shadow of the Colossus remake did. I want them to take that game, bring it into this era, but keep that game intact. So I wanted it to look like it. The trailer looks amazing. I wanted it to look like that, but I wanted it to still be Final Fantasy VII. And what's confusing to me is, I know Adam, I can't remember if Chris is a fan and Nicola was as well, but I'm confused as to, is this doesn't seem like it's being made for me.
And I've never played Final Fantasy VII.
That's fine. You're not big into JRPGs, are you? But who's the target audience? Because if it's not me, with the like ultra reverence for that game, I need some help. I'm confused.
It's hard going, because you said that like it seems like it's running off of 15's engine, which is, I do agree there. But man, like when I saw the gameplay, the first thing that came into my head was 13.
Okay.
Like, it just, like, I can see what you're saying. Like, if they were to do, like, a Shadow of Colossus style of remake, or whatever you want to call it, remaster.
Yeah.
But, like, would you want to keep, like, the same angles and, like, set designs and stuff?
But,
and
isn't that their challenge to take on then? Like,
it is, and I definitely think it would have been.
So take some of those bits of the gameplay where they're, like, they've even got the same bosses by the looks of it. Why can't that be a turn-based battle system?
I think they want to target.
Yeah, be honest, mate. Don't worry about angering people.
Like, I think the mainstream thing, I think maybe it might be too slow for people, or not as appealing in this generation. Like, how does Final Fantasy, unless, like, I don't know, a 13, 14-year-old there's 13 or 14-year-olds out there today who love these kind of games and old school JRPGs, but are they trying to target that just mainstream audience of, oh, what's this? Are they trying to hit the 15 again? Or is Final Fantasy...
But don't you think that seems a bit blind? Like, 15 was okay received, but it also, do you remember they cancelled the DLC because it just wasn't worth the money for them? So does that not tell them about the game they made?
Yeah. You know? I
15,
think...
the one where it's those...
The four guys.
My God, the most incredibly annoying set of boys going out on that, in that car.
In the car,
right, okay. I have played that one.
Not everyone's bag. It can definitely be risks.
I would never tire of punching those boys.
So that's the thing, right? Do you know anyone, like Adam, you said about that's someone's bag. Do you know anyone who's gone... So do you know anyone that's gone the way when I was of age when 7 came out, it's like, oh, this is one of my favourite games of all time. Have you ever heard anyone talk about 15 with that reverence?
I can honestly say yes.
Okay, well, that's ruined my point then, but fair enough.
No, and I don't mean to ruin that point, and no, I do want to hear it, but like, it's a close friend of mine. It was his first ever like Final Fantasy game.
Okay.
I just know now he wouldn't personally have the patience to play the old ones, but he played 15. He was into the story and he loved it, and he played it for so long. Final Fantasy is just in a weird place for quite some time.
Square Enix is in a weird place.
Oh yeah, well,
Full
stop, like, completely.
What was that game they released last year? The Silent Man? Is it the Silent Man?
Oh, the Quiet Man.
The Quiet Man.
Quiet Man. Oh, fucking hell.
And then there was that one they released this year that
they have Left Alive. Is Left Alive?
Left Alive is the one, yeah.
And then, even Just Cause 4 is a bit of a bummer, I think. But, anyway, back to Final Fantasy 7. I think it's just fine. It's exactly what I expected. To see, that's the way they make these games now. This series of games, I think. And I don't think they're ever going to go back and do it how, 7, 8, 9 were and stuff.
I'll play it. Do you know what I mean?
I will play it, man. But,
I'd probably play it as somebody who's...
Yeah.
I mean, I have tried to play Final Fantasy VII. I tried to play it maybe about 4 or 5 years ago on my PC. In fact, I have it on my PC. But I just... Well, one, I don't like playing on my PC, so that's a barrier for me anyway. I just kind of got a bit... It didn't grab me.
That's because it was probably too fucking slow as well.
It is really slow. I thought...
changed that for the Switch version. You know, the recently released ones, they've got a three-speed thing. You click the left stick in. I think it's left stick, and it goes three times. Everything's three speed.
It's amazing.
You can click the right stick in and just have infinite health, or you can click both sticks and it turns off random battles as well. So there's
random battles piss me off. I don't... That's one of the things I have with JRPGs. It's just... The random battles piss me off. I had it with Lost Odyssey. I fell off Lost Odyssey because of the stupid random battles that pissed me off. And the fact that you can't save when you want to. In fact, I died. I fought a big monster on Lost Odyssey and was literally 2 steps away from the save point, got a random encounter and died. I will say
the random battle stuff, there is, you know, the noise when you have a Final Fantasy VII random. I have a Pavlovian response to that throws me back to childhood, where I genuinely sort of just wince on the spot. And Chris, was Chris, are you a Final Fantasy VII fan?
I was when it came out, yeah.
Have you had a chance to watch this trailer? Because obviously,
I watched it today. I'm not massively fussed for it. I don't know what it is. I think 15 threw me off because I like that game to start with. And then towards the end, it just dragged. And then there was some awful level designs. And
I'm at that awful level that everybody complained about that just is chapter 7 or something.
It's something like that, yeah. Oh. It's just one.
Do you know, I can remember nothing about that game apart from the... what was her name? I think there was some uproar about it. I want to say Cindy?
Cindy, big boobs.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Meet very early on. That's and as Nicholas said, do you know what? I can remember more about the Blu-ray movie they released.
That was amazing.
I can remember, I think Sean Bean was in that, actually. Wasn't he the king in Kingsglaive?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Which tells you about how that ends.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have we become the internet where it's like we want that remake and now we're the ones who're like, oh, well, why bother?
It's not because I was never like that.
I think the real thing here is, for me personally, out of everything that's surrounding this planned remake, is the episodic thing. That to me, all right, you can also go, well, you heard like Final Fantasy VII originally was in like 3 or 4 discs or something. It's like, oh, fuck off. That's not
episodic.
That's not episodic either, do you know? But this, see, like, when it's episodic, are we going to miss some story beats? Are we cutting
out until episode 2? Is it going to be 2 years?
Exactly, like, and how long are these episodes? Because
what if episode 1 is just the up to, the, like, where you go after the first reactor? Do you know what I mean?
Ah, oh, Jesus.
Because, like, it takes a long time to make a game that good looking and a lot of money.
No, I do think I have to, like, credit Drew for, like, the cutscenes and stuff look really good. I think,
oh,
like
Aerith looks incredible.
But yeah.
That's almost how you imagine her when you think back to when you
first
played it.
100%. And I think, like, I don't know if I'd be more excited to see a Final Fantasy VII, like, well, I know there's like, isn't there like Spirits Within or something, the movie, but like,
yeah, that's right, yeah.
I don't know, this right now, when I saw it, oh, I'd love an actual movie instead of the game. But like, I don't know, man, it's like it's one of those things that fans of seven I can't imagine a lot of fans being like, yep, they nailed us. And it's not being negative,
they've
nailed the look, but it's just kind of the world we're in. Like, if people weren't digging the combat of like 15 and stuff like that, which is what it seems to be going for again, I don't know, people haven't gelled to that at all. I don't mind it, and we probably will all give it a go, but it's kind of,
I think a game that big, everyone is gonna try it.
It's odd, like it's weird when you have like a remake of Final Fantasy VII. It's almost like saying, oh, there's a remake of Ocarina of Time. Do you know what I mean? You're gonna go, what? It's a bit of a weird one. You just don't know what way it'll play out. But like, they're giving more news in June, I think. I think that was like at the end of the trailer.
Well, that'll be E3, because Square Enix have their own press conference too, don't they? So
yeah, like, I like this. I'd like to think we would see.
I mean, someone's got to show something in June.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, fuck's sake. But like, episode 1 would have to come this year. It looks pretty much done. Like, the gameplay that you can watch, it looks, it is all early parts of the game, so that's where I'm kind of going, that's surely episode 1 that we're going to get pretty soon. And
maybe.
Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not convinced. Maybe that will be one of the huge E3 things, and it's available right now. But we'll find out. Less than a month away, I believe, E3, at the time people listen to this.
It's pretty funny, like, even though it was announced and stuff, like, there's still people just up in a heap over, like, 8 just being forgotten and things like that.
Well, yeah, but again, I think we talked about 8, why it's been forgotten. It's not forgotten. They can't find the master of it. Like, it's, I don't know. Nicola, have you seen any video games?
I haven't seen any video games.
Okay. Oh, have you played any video games?
I've played one video game.
I'm not even going to try and guess what it is.
Oh, you probably couldn't.
No.
It's really obscure. It's a really obscure title that you can't possibly imagine that I've been playing obsessively.
Qubit.
Nicola, how many hours?
Pod on the Commodore
64. I have
64.
No idea.
Is there any timer in it, no?
No,
thankfully not.
That's
like Xbox usually. Is this Sea of Thieves? I've been playing Sea of Thieves, in case you hadn't guessed. No, most Xbox games do have a total time played. You know, when you go to the stats for the game, you know, to check the achievements and stuff, it'll give you like stats on it as well. And for some reason, Sea of Thieves doesn't give you hours played.
Have they said why? I know people want it fixed. They haven't even responded to it.
I don't know. I mean,
that's real.
I know that
though.
People have put in forums, you know, please show me hours played, but they've
never put
it on. And
you're there going, no, please don't show me hours played.
Please don't show me. Yeah, I've been playing Sea of Thieves. It's a surprise to no one.
You liking it?
Oh, man. Do I like it? I love
that
game.
She's not
a fan. I love it. I absolutely adore it. The anniversary update came out last week that added the PvP arena, fishing, the new Hunter's Call trading company where you can hand in your fish and like catch and kill animals for their meat.
You've just given me the title of the episode, Hand in the Fish.
Yeah.
Hand in your fish. Thank you very much.
And the Tall Tales, which is the sort of narrative, story driven stuff. that you kind of
is that
hook
the stuff
onto.
I was asking for at the start, like when I was like, oh, I wish this is that it is that, because you said I should try it again. Is that,
oh, you absolutely should. The Tall Tales are amazing.
Okay.
I don't really know how to explain it. Because
what I wanted was like caverns where you find shit and you're like, oh, what's this? And it just sends you on this path, you know?
Mm. Yeah, they do that. But they're, I mean, they're structured in a way that a freeform sandbox game can be structured.
Mm.
They all deal with something called the Shroud Breaker, which is like a weird artifact that helps
Sounds
you
like a
part.
Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah. Well, the Shroud Breaker helps you get... Because you know when you travel to the edges of the map in Sea of Thieves?
Yeah, it
goes all red. Well, that's called the Devil's Shroud.
Okay.
And the Shroud Breaker helps you get through the Devil's Shroud to
How
the
do
shores
you know
of
these
gold.
Things? How do you know these things?
Because I'm like a proper Sea of Thieves nerd. Okay. Honestly, the games consume me. So these Tall Tales, there's like, how many is there? I forget, nine?
Six,
nine Tall Tales? I can't remember. My brain's fried. I think there's nine of them, and they all interlink in some way to getting you like ready to go into the Devil's Shroud and find the shores of gold. I've got two more tales left to do. I'm on the Revenge of the Morning Star, and I've got Shores of Gold to do after that. They're brilliant. They're so good. They are so good.
Substantial.
Yeah, they are. You basically can pick up, you start it by visiting any one of the mysterious stranger characters that are in the tavern. You know, the ones that tell you, you know, you have to be level 50 to get his secret.
Yeah.
So you pick the very first one up from any one of those mysterious strangers, but the next ones are all in specific locations. And you can only do them once you've done the preceding tale.
Mm.
They're amazing. They're just amazing. You get given a book, like a quest book. So, you know, you have your map in your radio menu when you're like doing a gold hoarders or something. This actually gives you a book that you flick through pages, and it might have star constellations that you have to follow to find the right island that you need to dig on or whatever you need to do on it. Or it's got riddles, like it's got glyphs that it gives you a key for, and you've got to try and work out what this coded message is saying by using the glyph key. It's just, they're brilliant. They are really, really good. Like, some of them have proper blown my mind. And there's like, I think I mentioned in Slack yesterday, there's like some Monkey Island levels of like proper, not necessarily obtuse puzzles, but like real, you know, your head scratching. And then finally, the solution kind of, you suddenly go, oh my god, that is amazing, when you actually work it out.
Where do you sort of see this going? Like, do you see yourself just continuing to play it?
See, I like the core loop anyway. I enjoy the core loop of the game anyway. Like, I can just log into that game and I don't even really need to put down a voyage. I can just go, I've picked up this random, like, message in a bottle voyage, and I'll just do that if I happen to sail past the island. I can just, like, kind of potter. And now that fishing is in it as well, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now that fishing's in it, like, if I haven't got very long, because I've hit Pirate Legends, so, like, my voyages now are quite lengthy.
Right.
So if I haven't got very long, I'll just like kind of log in and go fishing for like 40 minutes. Go fishing. I just like being in the game. It's like the same when I've got the same feelings about it that I had with Minecraft, that I just enjoy being in the game. Like Minecraft it's not so much now actually, but Minecraft was a game that I would go to if I didn't know, if I didn't really fancy playing anything else, or if I was a little bit, you know, low mood or whatever, I'd just load up Minecraft and potter about in the world that I've spent. I don't know what, I don't even want to tell you how many hours I've spent in Minecraft, but like, you know, I just potter around in the world that I've had for, you know, hundreds of hours, and just like chip away at stuff that I was doing. And this Sea of Thieves is kind of like that for me now, where I feel a bit low mood, and at the moment there isn't really much to play anyway, although I do have a hideous backlog. I just log into it. I just enjoy the game. Like, I just love the sailing in it. I love that everything is, you know, like physical in it. So you have to navigate. You have to use your compass to navigate. You have to use, you know, your line of sight. You know, like, oh, I recognize that. I mean, I can probably navigate without the map anymore. I've got that bad with it. But, you know, like, I'll recognize, go, oh, that's Cannon Cove over there. I know that if I want to go to Boulder Cay, I had to head off to the northwest. You know, I can kind of do that now because I've sailed around it so much. But I just love everything about it. You know, you get your little X marks the spot map, and you have to go onto the island and kind of really look at the topography of the island and go, okay, well, that's that big rock there, and that's that tree there. Right, I think I need to dig here. I love it. Absolutely love it. And of course, the arena, I didn't even think that I was even going to be bothered about the arena, because I tend to avoid the PvP as much as possible. I'm pretty good at ship-to-ship combat, but the minute somebody boards, I'm kind of a bit shit. I'm a bit rubbish at it. Which, you know, I don't mind. But the PvP, the arena, is just so exciting. Do you know anything about it, the arena?
Nothing at all.
So the arena is pure PvP, and it's like 25 minutes or 24 minutes a match, and the goal is to make as much silver as possible.
But are you on your ship with your
shipmates? Yeah, it's all galleon. It's all galleons.
So can you,
galleons, I think it is.
But could
five
you
or six
jump
galleons?
Off your ship and... board them and kill them. Okay. Do they respawn like they would in the main?
Oh yeah. So you earn silver.
That's what you mean. Okay.
You earn silver by killing a player, by sinking their ship, by digging chests up.
So if you sink my ship, am I out, or do I spawn a new ship?
No, you just lose 1,000 points. You just lose 1,000 silver. But you, I mean, you can win without ever engaging in PvP just by going to the island. So it's a much smaller map, so it's just a section of the map. There's maybe five or six islands in it, and you'll get given a sequence of maps with X marks of spots, and you have to go to those islands and dig up the chests and then get those chests back and sell them. Meanwhile, you know, other ships are around, they're trying to get the chests, they're like boarding you, stealing your chests, or they're, you know, like they're shooting you, trying to sink your boat. It's pretty exciting. I'm a bit rubbish at it, but like I say, the ship to ship stuff, I'm really good. I've got pretty good with the cannons now. I don't really tend to miss with the cannons anymore, but it's just when we get boarded, I tend to die because I'm not very good.
but
it's much more
really
exciting.
With that much.
No, not really.
You can shoot shit, but it was never designed to be like Titanfall levels of Apex Legends, I suppose, modern.
No, it wasn't. I don't know. It's just a really exciting mode. And like I say, I didn't think that I would be that bothered by it because, as I say, I tend to avoid the PvP. But it's super exciting, and it feels like it's the start of something, you know, like they've got other plans in that area.
Okay.
Because at the moment it's just purely galleons. So you can match make and go into a random crew, or you can assemble your own crew and go in that way. I kind of feel like that's the start. This is just them really testing the waters of you know, what they can do with it. And I'd like to see them maybe do sloop battles or perhaps races. I mean, that'd be so cool to have a race.
No reason why not.
Yeah, I mean, I know that the community themselves, they do races.
Yeah, but you mean like proper...
I mean a proper like arena race, yeah, where you all start at the same island and you've got to get to another island and whoever gets there first, because you would still have that like battle as well, because if somebody, you know, fires themselves over to your ship and they manage to anchor you, then their ship has got like, you know, an advantage because they're still moving, whereas you've got that heavy anchor. So I think that they could do stuff like that. That would be really cool. But yeah, it's just amazing. Sea of Thieves is like totes good.
It's weird because like I remember this time last year, Chris and I were both talking about God of War. Well, maybe not quite now, but you know, not long ago, and we were both talking about how it kind of. I mean, Chris wrote an article I remember about like how it kind of broke him.
Mm.
And do you remember, Chris?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Like the reason I've got nothing to talk about this week is I don't know. I was worried that I had a problem. Like in games have just, I don't know. But like then you've all kind of said it. But do
you'll
know
be
what?
All right.
But do you know what it is? I feel like Days Gone has had that opposite effect on me. I was playing it, and I just feel like it's done the complete opposite with God of War. Like it's just, you know, whereas God of War was just such a high. That felt like quite a low for me, and I've played for a bit of Mortal Kombat. I did like an arcade mode, then I sort of stopped and went, you know what I mean? And then
Well, I've been thinking about doing?
Go on.
Because I feel the same. I've been thinking about going back and playing God of War again.
Oh.
See, for me, it's the Horizon DLC, but like what I desperately want is I want to feel... I don't know if... Maybe it has just not been a brilliant year for games, but I want to feel about a game the way Nicola feels about Sea of Thieves. I don't care what game. I just want something to... I'm hoping that game's Rage 2. I know Mario Maker 2 will get me, but I don't know. Let's do some listener correspondence anyway, because I don't want to be too negative. We'll start with Adam, because he's been very quiet this week. So Mark Duncliffe wants to know, Adam, if you could only have one meal every day for the rest of the year, what would it be?
I'm going to just have to say pizza.
No, you can't say that one.
Why?
Because I was going to say that.
Well, look.
Okay, hang on. That's not a specific meal. That is a
food. What about like a homemade meal?
No, because...
Pizza's not a meal.
It is if Adam says, what's on the pizza? All right, or pizza and chips.
We had our pizza. We had our pizza conversation.
Thank you.
Yeah, but that was ages ago. I can't remember what you said. Oh, no, I can. It was weird, wasn't it? You said something weird.
It wasn't weird. It was just spicy.
I'm sure you said like there was some weird topping on it. I'm sure there was some.
There was one weird topping. You were
I'm
like,
sure.
I'm out.
I'm sure you had me, and then it was like you just started. You went too far, Adam. Is what I'm saying.
Probably anything Italian related.
No, it has to be a meal. Don't blame me. Mark's been specific. He's asked you if you can only have one meal every day for the rest of the year. It's only the year, by the way, not your life, just this year or a year.
A really, really good burger. But
again,
I can't.
Not really a meal. Just a burger.
That is a meal. Oh, fuck's sake. Hang on, though. Like, I'm trying to avoid. I'm trying to avoid potatoes here, like. Do you know
why? Why?
Because I'm fucking Irish and I don't want to sound cliche.
You can lead a horse to the water. But, no, what's the saying? You can't make it eat potatoes. I don't know. Genuinely, what I think what he's asking almost is, what's your favourite meal? Or what's your favourite meal that you wouldn't get sick of, isn't it, really?
See, that is there an answer to this? Because, like, I love pizza, love fish and chips.
Would you get tired of pizza every night?
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would.
Really?
I don't know.
I think I honestly would. I'd be like, oh, pizza again? No.
You see, I could broaden it by saying... I would genuinely pick pasta. Sorry, pizza. But I could broaden it by saying pasta. Because I love pasta. And you can do... You know, we're talking carbonara. I've literally had carbonara today. And it's genuinely one of my favourite meals in the world. Spaghetti bolognese.
I suppose. But then, like, is that a meal?
No, it's
right,
not.
Because
it?
It's not the same meal, is it?
No,
like,
it's
carbonara
not. You're right.
Or spaghetti bolognese, that's two different types of meal. They both have the same.
Roast dinner.
carbohydrate.
Oh, roast dinner.
But if you're saying roast, I think you need to specify the meat.
All right. Well, it depends because I like lamb. I'd probably go with lamb.
Oh,
with a bit of mint sauce.
Yeah, a bit of mint sauce.
Can't
some roasties, parsnips. Some...
Could you eat a roast every... You'd die, Chris, if you ate a roast every
day,
mate.
The thing is,
you will get sick of every food, no matter what you say of it for 365 meals.
He does say have one I'm meal every day, so you can't even vary it up with lunch or breakfast.
But I'm guessing if he says, if you could...
being too specific.
If you could have one meal, which means if we were given the choice and we were able to eat a meal...
Oh, you're right, so it's the answer we wouldn't.
And, like, we could survive off it. So, like, a roast dinner, yeah. If it wasn't for this question, you'd probably die if you had it every day.
Why?
But, you know, this question is allowing you to have a roast.
I think I'd rather have pizza every day than a roast.
Well, if we're going there, I'd rather have lasagna every day. Homemade lasagna.
Oh, no, okay.
Do you know what I'm going to say, no? See, it differs here, no. But... I love a breakfast fry for dinner.
No, what? Hang on. Sorry.
What?
Hang on a minute.
What? What's the problem here?
What is a breakfast fry?
Well, it's...
Oh, you mean a fry up? I thought you meant a chip. I thought there was some kind of breakfast fry. Like,
Like a fry for breakfast.
Like the full English, sorry, the full Irish for dinner is what you're saying. Yeah. Sausages, beans.
The sausages, the pudding, the beans and all that stuff. Like,
Adam, that's... Yeah. No, I'm with you. Now I'm not thinking that you're eating chips for cold chips for dinner.
No, do you know what? No, people put chips on their fry's neck and piss right off because that's dirt. I just want...
Where do you sit on a hash brown?
Oh, hey, that's... That's the winner right there, Nick.
Okay,
that's
okay,
the winner.
Cool.
Like, I'm going to
say...
So what's
in your... you keep calling it just a fry, which is... Is that... Chris and Nick are up north. What do you call it? Do you just call it the full English or a fry up?
I don't know. Whatever.
Full brekkie.
Yeah.
Cooked breakfast,
yeah.
So what's...
I don't know.
Breakfast.
What do I call it? I don't know.
I think we call it a cooked breakfast in our house now because
we
don't
just
fry it anymore.
Brekkie.
It's in the oven. It's still in the oven, most of it. So Adam, what's... Tell us and the listeners, what's on your fry?
I see. Now we're going to start upsetting people, because like...
Well, we're not. You might. We're just listening.
Well, you've started the upset, but I don't eat meat, obviously.
I didn't even
ask
the question.
You asked me the question. Now I have to give the answer, and that's that. And see, the thing is, with it being a vegetarian breakfast...
Oh, here it comes.
Listen here. I told you I'd be upset.
Do you eat eggs?
I eat eggs.
Okay.
I eat eggs, and I have had a discovery recently that... Normally, I would fry an egg both sides.
That's incorrect,
but go on.
Well, don't knock it until you try it.
I like a runny yolk, though.
Now I've gone back to that way, and I do prefer it. But do try, fry the egg on both sides. It's really good.
I absolutely won't, I'm sorry.
I only do that in a sandwich, Adam.
Yeah, okay, I mean...
Ooh, an egg in a sandwich is good.
I love a fried egg sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a bit of ketchup. What about scrambled eggs? Where do you stand on them? No, Adam, the fry. What's on your plate? Come on.
So I'd have the egg. I'd have... are you fans of pudding?
I don't... If you're going to talk about black pudding...
Yeah.
I'm going to stick my flag down now.
Right.
Vile. Vile.
Okay. But what about white pudding?
What's
worse?
What's white pudding? I never know.
I think that's worse.
Huh?
Isn't that
what
like...
No, the black pudding is like fried...
Blood.
Is like blood. Pig's blood.
Then semen.
No, I don't... Well, it might. Stay tuned, listeners. You're
either way.
Ride.
Either way, would you eat it? You don't... Like,
what
Nicholas
is
need black pudding.
What is white pudding?
Right. Google what you got for me.
Hang on. You don't know... What you're eating when someone gives you what looks like black pudding and is completely...
Well,
it's right, there's semen in it, isn't there?
I'll explain. White pudding.
Oatmeal.
Oatmeal pudding or mealy pudding. Is it meat?
In a fry? What's going on?
Scotland, Ireland, Nova Scotia, Why pudding's probably similar.
Just in Scotland, Ireland, Nova Scotia.
White pudding. Main ingredient is oatmeal, pork meat or liver, and whatever the hell.
I'm sorry.
What the hell is suet? S-U-E-T.
Suet, yeah.
That's what they used to make dumplings. I'm a fan of suet.
Would you eat that though, Adam, if you're a veggie?
No, and this is what I'm saying.
Why the hell did you mention it?
Because I eat it, there's a vegetarian version of it.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god.
Adam Cook,
tell
you
this is the most complicated English I've ever heard.
I told you. Either way.
We haven't even got to beans yet.
But we'll get to the beans in a second, baby. but the white pudding, is made of soy protein. That's what the vegetarian one is, right? And it is absolutely ridiculous how close it is. Like it's you couldn't tell the difference, to be honest, if you had actual white pudding and vegetarian white pudding. This particular one, so
we got
changed
eggs,
the game.
White pudding, okay. Eggs and white pudding.
Right, yeah, that's where we're something. At.
But we're at that
then,
so far.
Then I have sausages.
Like, Linda McCartney style sausages?
Linda McCartney sausages, right?
They're pretty nice, actually. Yeah, I'm going to... Yeah, they're all right.
They're good.
You can get nice veggie sausages.
No, I have beans. But the problem here is... I'm not going to lie. For many years of my life, I've been eating my beans cold.
I believe you've told me I think on the top table, wasn't it, this was brought up,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Monster,
hold
Nicola.
On right
I know.
He's a monster,
right?
It's
I actually don't mind cold beans, but we're talking about a cooked breakfast. Adam,
I'm crazy then, in the sense of like I like something, like for example, if I have a burger, right, I don't want the bun toasted. I don't want the bun toasted, and I don't want the cheese melted.
Oh my god! Who are you?
I want the cheese cold because it slowly melts on the burger, and I like the contrast of the heat and the cold. It makes it a very enjoyable burger.
Who are you?
I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'm talking about food and like the way you should be eating.
Do you know? Hey, listen. I remember the crisp sandwich. Don't you be telling me how I should be eating food. Because
I still think people should try the Pringles sandwich. I'm always
Yes, but the thing is, the listeners to the God is a Geek podcast think you're talking about two bits of bread with Pringles in it. That's not what he means, listeners. And I'm not explaining what it is. And just banned from this podcast.
Yeah, it's a controversial one to be fair.
I have to know.
They'll turn off. It's disgusting. It is genuinely disgusting.
Adam, can I ask you, right, where do you sit on, like, a grilled tomato, if you're a veggie?
No, see, I don't hate it, but I don't bake for it.
Oh,
it's the
only can't
actual real
it.
Vegetable on the plate.
Cooked tomato, oof, minging.
Do you know, I'd sometimes eat tomatoes cold on the plate.
Of course.
Not the cooked, not the, like, little, you know, gently grilled...
The gently grilled ones, I give a shot. Like, but you know, when you cut into
Adam,
it, and all
don't let her push you around.
It.
This is your plate. This is your plate. It's got cold beans, white pudding, veggie sausages, and
eggs.
a double cooked egg or whatever.
Well, no, it's normal. No, it's back to normal. But you know, one side only.
Sure.
Then I'd have hash brown.
Okay.
Finally.
Maybe three. And then
mushrooms.
See, I also eat the fry in an order.
Oh,
for fuck's sake. Is that it? Like, no mushrooms?
No mushrooms cooked in
mushrooms
butter
okay.
or all like that?
I don't really like the mushroom juice that pours along underneath everything else. It's
right.
Fun.
Right, okay.
No, you wouldn't want the mushroom juice mixed in with your cold beans.
No, you don't, do you? See, you're thinking straight now. Good man.
Hang on. Sorry, I've just realised what you said. You eat it in an order.
I eat all my food in an order. Like, if I have a burger on a plate, I don't eat it with my hands.
No, but don't worry about the burger. What? No, wait, do worry about the burger. You do what?
I'll take the top bun off.
You wouldn't, Adam.
Yeah, I'm with Adam here.
I'd take the top bun off, and I'd have that there, and I'd get into the rest of it then, right? But then I'd leave the top bun for sauces and stuff to kind of mess around and kind of like...
Oh, right. See, I don't eat the top part of the bun. I just don't eat it.
See, I would. I eat everything that's on my plate. That's a damn fact. But the thing is, the fry... The fry, it kind of goes away. I'll always leave the pudding to less because that's my favourite.
Right.
And I'm always like, the last bite.
The language being thrown away. The fry and the pudding. And
I enjoy that part. And then you see, I don't normally have toast with my fry. I just have cold bread.
Oh, fuck.
Right. But I usually you have butter on it.
But the thing is, it gets worse. And this is definitely controversial, right?
White or brown bread? I need to know. White or brown bread?
Same. Yeah. It depends. If it's soda bread, I'll go for the brown soda bread. But if it's like just sliced pen stuff, I'm going white because fuck it.
Okay. Butter?
I put butter on it, right? And then I put marmalade on it. But I also dip that
then. Oh, my God.
Fuck it.
I dip that then in tomato ketchup.
And this is not... sorry. I'm sorry. So you've got non-toasted bread...
Correct.
With butter, marmalade, and ketchup.
Is he making this up? Are you making this up, Adam?
I don't think he can be because it's been too natural. It's flown off the tongue too quickly. I don't think he can be.
Well, the thing
also,
was,
why would you make this up? Let's be honest.
I grew up in some weird kind of food way because I used to go to school. When I used to go to primary school, I think I told you this, but I used to go to primary school with just tomato ketchup sandwiches.
Yeah, I forgot that. Right. I'd actually forgotten that.
That's tragic.
No, I don't need as much. I don't
That's
need
tragic,
as much
but
today.
How? I need to know how this happened. How did you go? I mean, first of all, can we talk about marmalade on bread rather than
toast?
What
yeah, I mean, I'm
the
not a
fuck?
Marmalade fan, but even, if you're gonna do it with toast,
right? But how did you discover marmalade
on bread?
On bread.
Hang on butter
with
bread.
Ketchup.
Yeah.
No, hang on. The ketchup isn't on the bread.
Oh, right.
Oh, well, sorry.
And that's how thank you. That's, see, a bit of a misunderstanding there, but we'll clear it up, don't worry. The thing about it is, I'll tell you how it happened. It was years ago, and I just sat there, and I was looking at my slice of bread, and I went, all right, cool. And there was a bit of ketchup, and I went, oh, fuck it. And I just, dived in, edit, and I went, fuck it, that was brilliant. So I got another slice and did it all over.
I mean, thank God a dog hadn't shit on the floor or something, because you'd have... You know,
who knows?
So when do you eat your beans? Because, I mean, you wouldn't want them to get warm, would you? So you've got to...
That's true. No, I have
Straight
started eating warm beans, because my girlfriend can only eat beans warm.
Like most people. And when you say she can only eat them, are you like, for God's sake... You're so weird. Can't you just eat these cold like me?
Well, that's the thing. Like I went to a festival a few years ago and I just brought a fucking crate of Heinz beans with me.
Of course you did.
I just ate them. They were limited edition. I wasn't vegetarian at the time, so they were limited edition. They came with these little hot dogs inside them. It was rotten. But anyway, back to ketchup and marmalade.
That's not a limited edition thing. You can just buy them in the shop.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, they're hot dog sausages and beans, aren't they? Like, they're miniature. I mean, you can get breakfast in a can.
Shit, then.
Well, not your breakfast in a can, to be fair.
That's how it works. Anything else I'd add to it? Not particularly. I'd always have tea. I'd always have tea with the fry.
Yep, yep.
It would never be coffee. It would have to be tea.
Definitely.
Never sugar, just a drop of soy sauce in there, yeah?
Yeah, sure, why not, man? That's what everything wants. But then to add to more stuff to it, then, not really anything else going on, really.
And you'd have that every day. You'd happily have that every day.
Fucking too right I would, Nick. I had it twice this week.
I've nothing.
I'm lost for words.
Seriously, listen, we're going to have a good breakfast date sometime. And
I am not eating breakfast with you. If I go in a cafe or something with you, they're going to throw us out.
No. You know, it's a bit of a dose, all right, if I ever have to explain it. If I ever go somewhere and I'm like, okay, I need this, and I need this, but I don't want the beans that way.
Well, not to nick the Red Dwarf joke, but you are the man who sends the gazpacho soup back and asks him to warm it up, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? I know it's a Red Dwarf joke, but I would have said before now, the weirdest food thing I've ever heard was your Pringle sandwich.
Mm.
You've not just topped it, you've obliterated that as a weird food thing. We did a food podcast. How did this never come up?
No one asked me how I ate my breakfast.
Yeah.
It's a fair point. don't get asked the questions, then you don't get the answers, do you?
That's right. You know, you've got to be in it to win it, I suppose. Did everyone get? I mean, the question feels like it was a lifetime ago now. But did everyone get to answer? Nick, you said.
Yeah. I honestly don't think I could do this because there's lots of foods that I really enjoy, but the idea of having it every day for a whole year kind of makes me go, no. I don't think there's anything I can think of.
Are you the chef in your house?
Yes,
you are. So I was going to ask. Like, I mean, I'm not very good at it, and there are like certain meals that if, you know, when I sort of say, oh, what's for dinner tonight, Claire? And she sort of says something, and there is like the kind of almost a child minute going, yes! You know what I mean? There are certain, it can't be the same for you. I mean, if you get to choose, do you get to choose?
Like one of my favourite meals, and this sounds really boring after,
it will
after,
do after
like
it.
Adam's.
Yeah.
And it is really boring, but I always feel really good after I've eaten it. I have salmon, fresh salmon, that I bake in the oven, wrapped in a little foil parcel with a bit of olive oil on it, some green pesto and a slice of brie, and I bake that in the oven. Ooh. And I really, really like it, and I have it with like broccoli and some rice or something. I don't know. I mean, God, that sounds really dull, doesn't it? It's but not. It's really tasty. And I really enjoy it. But it's not necessarily something. I mean, I love fish and chips, like, you know, from a chippy. I love a chippy tea. Yeah. But, like, again, I just, if I had something like that every day, I'd be like, what, this again?
I'm not saying this is it's not some sort of challenge. I don't think I would tire of pizza. I really don't. I think like one of my favourite meals is a carbonara, but I think just because how creamy that is, I think there will be a night, you'd eventually be like, oh, this is.
See, I love pastas as well. Same. You know, like Chris said, lasagna.
Oh, lasagna, yeah.
Lasagna. Oh, my word.
Pizza, I just don't think I'd get bored of. I mean, I might get bored of, but I'd still be fine. It's not.
I suppose you could put,
you know,
different toppings on a pizza.
That's it. That's it.
You?
It is a cop out, but.
Yeah, it's a difficult one to answer that.
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Thank God for Adam Carroll, is all I can say. National treasure. Mark, I mean, I'm sorry, Mark, I doubt this question's going to get anywhere near that level of detail, but he also wants to know, and maybe on a gaming podcast, this is the one I should have asked first, but Microsoft have a chance at E3, he says, to get more people excited for Xbox. What do they need to do to get you excited or very interested in buying the next Xbox? I mean,
Flashlight.
I was just going to say games, They need to
Sea of Thieves 2. I don't know. I'd probably buy it anyway.
Well, that's just the same. Like, it's, you know, the industry.
Like, Game Pass is really good if they carried on with that kind of thing. I don't know.
Just games for me. Just lots of new, exciting games and sequels to games I love, and a commitment to games, really, for me. Mark, I'm sorry. But you listen, you know what you're getting in for. You asked a food question.
He did it deliberately.
Of course he did. He clearly listens regularly because he must have known. David Ayers wants to know, what will be Game of the Year in 2025? What will be Game of the Year in 2025? And I don't think this has to be what he's not asking what your Game of the Year will be. What the consensus, you know, the kind of industry, the game in 2025? We're 6 years away. So I'm going to say...
Death Stranding,
yeah.
Bloodborne... Gears of War 27. I don't know.
Cyberpunk will be out before then, won't it? No, it could...
I'd love to see it, like a follow-up to Breath of the Wild.
GTA 6.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or Bully 2.
Really?
I mean, no, not really. I don't know. Time travel only works in the past, like when the podcast is... It doesn't...
Final Fantasy VII, Episode 1.
Oh, Chris. Why you gotta do them dirty like that? Or Assassin's Creed 82, I suppose.
Bolton. Assassin's Creed Bolton.
I wouldn't even play that.
That'd be amazing.
Do you know what? I would play that. That's a complete
lie. Oh, yeah.
Assassin's Creed Bolton.
Just yeah. the name. Yeah. Just the name alone.
I'd be well up for that.
Amazing.
Yeah. Thomas, we're nearly done. People who are like thinking, do you know what? If everyone wants to hear it, when we get to the end of this podcast, to make sure you all listen to the end, we'll get Adam to read what his Pringles sandwich is, and then we'll just, that's it, that's the end of the podcast. Okay, so we've got a couple of questions left, both from regular listener Thomas at LlamaFluff42. The lovely Thomas says, any thoughts on recording a podcast where you are all actually in the same room? Imagine the edge it would have if at least some of you were intoxicated. I don't understand what he means. We did that last week. I don't get it. We're always in the same room.
Yeah.
Right? It's a trek for Adam, the plane ride every week, but it's dedicated.
Well, you were over my house last week.
That's right, we were. Sorry, I forgot. It's easy to forget the jet lag.
So many studios.
Episode 310, we were in Israel. 241, we were in San Francisco. We go everywhere.
Yeah.
We just don't brag about it.
No, we definitely don't. The genuine answer is, yes, many thoughts about it. Logistically, it is a nightmare because I am about as south as you can get on the south coast. Adam is actually in Ireland. At one point, he was in Canada, so that was, again, obviously difficult. Chris,
I'm bang in the middle of England.
And Nicola's similar, aren't you?
Well, I'm in Yorkshire, which is the north. I mean, Chris is Midlands, isn't he?
Yeah. See, to me, Chris is might as well be in Scotland. Like, no, he's that far north.
He's Midlands.
Me.
He's the Midlands, isn't he?
Like, again,
I'm in the north.
We've talked about it. Like, we'd love to do the Game of the Year one with just a load of cameras set up. It's just logistically, it's very difficult. And I have a sneeze coming that I'm trying to stifle. and I think it's gone. Oh my, that burnt. Thomas, yeah, but it is something we've talked about. It's actually been talked about more and more. It's just, it costs money, obviously, to get everyone together. It also is a time factor. Like, if people came here where I tend to do the production stuff, even if the people would be willing to come a long distance, like, it's like, where does everyone sleep? I've got some room for people to sleep. I don't know if I could sleep four people comfortably. You know, and then, or do we meet somewhere in the middle? Do I come up to you guys? Like, it's not for want of not doing it. It would be awesome to sit with all the fantastic people, the friends of the site. You know, we've all become friends. It would be amazing to sit in a room and do that. It's just genuinely, like, we've talked about it loads of times, Chris, haven't we?
Oh yeah, yeah. We've contemplated it at points, but it is the time it takes to travel, the time, the money it costs to get there, the free time around our works and everything. It's
and families as well. Like, you know, like, but I mean, like, even Chris going to London, he's still 2 hours from me. Do you know what I mean? It is, you know, I don't know. But Thomas also wants to know, again, something we've discussed, Game of the Year thing. We've thought about it. It would be awesome. I'm sure one day we will. I just can't say it will be X year, you know what I mean? He also wants to know, and this is the final question, is it time, more than 2 years on, that the Switch tax thing wasn't a thing anymore? It can't be explained by cartridge sizes, as the pricing inflation exists in the digital space too. He's fed up with it. Short answer, Adam?
I'm fed up with it. Just go away.
I don't even think it's a Switch tax. It's a Nintendo tax. Their games never drop in price.
Never. And even, like, they even have, I only saw it the other night, but, like, things like Final Fantasy 12, I think it is, the Zodiac Age.
Yeah.
50 euro.
Oof. And that's a PS2 game.
That's a PS2 game. And then got re-released on, like, PS4 and Xbox One, Xbox One, I think. And that came out at 40 euro, and then it went down to like a tenner. And this is 50. It's disgraceful. It's really bad. Like, nobody, the novelty of, yeah, taking on the go is the thing, but nobody's going to pay 50 euro to play that game on the go, like, you know?
Oh, I'm sure some people have.
But yeah, they have, but, like, I wouldn't mind having it, but I cannot justify paying that much money.
No, same. That's the last question. And I'm going to just take this opportunity to remind people that if you go to patreon.com/godisageek for $1 a month, which works out about a tenner a year, roughly, give or take, you get the podcast early, you get early videos, exclusive access, you get game giveaways, all sorts of stuff. Consider that. Also, just a reminder, if you do just listen to the podcast, we are also a website, godisageek.com. I don't really do that very often because I kind of assume, but it's wrong to assume, but we are also a website where we review games. If you don't know that, go there, have a look, and you'll find out that we have, do video stuff. We do loads of stuff. Godisageek.com, yeah, or patreon.com/godisageek if you want to support the podcast and all the other content we do, like Chris seeing Ghost Recon Breakpoint. And not being funny, ultimately, maybe that's the way we can fund a get-together. Do you know what I mean? That may be enough. Nicola and Chris, thank you very much for being here. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'm going to apologise on behalf of... Well, I'm just going to apologise for what you're about to hear, as am I going to apologise to the listeners. If you've heard this before, you're not going to be flawed.
I'm like on tenterhooks here. I need to know.
I'm just going to say you will regret this and you will look at him in a different way.
I've not got past the bread with marmalade and ketchup. I'm still there.
I promise you that will seem like a treat.
Okay.
I think that...
Go for
the
it.
The marmalade and the ketchup thing, I think that's mainly like a pretty decent meal, date night thing. And this kind of Pringles sandwich is more like 3 o'clock in the morning, I've had too many pints and I need something filthy. So what you got to do for yourselves is you got to take your favourite flavour of Pringle.
All right, so it's your choice. So it's not like, it has to be a specific Pringle. No.
Personally, I do go for sour cream and onion. I'm a big, big fan of the green tube.
Okay.
And what you do is you take a bunch of Pringles. You can usually go to 10 will be enough. And you take one to each side. So you're taking two and separating them from the rest.
So five in each hand. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. 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 Well, no, you're taking just one Pringle and you're left with like a bunch of like eight.
Oh, okay.
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 So you're going to take the remaining eight Pringles,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to put them in your mouth.
Right.
And you're going to get chomping. And you're going to be like, fuck it, this is brilliant. I should always eat Pringles like this because it's really great with flavour and everything like that when you put a load in.
Right.
But what you do is you keep that going, but then you take one of the other Pringles, and what you do is you bring it to your mouth.
Yep.
And you then let loose the Pringles that are inside your mouth.
Oh my God.
On top
what,
of the
like
Pringle.
A bird regurgitating for its young?
No. There's none of that. There's none of that. You're just bringing it out. You can do it any way you want. You can put it on a plate and scoop it up, whatever you feel like. But
right.
then you get the other. You put it on top of the other Pringles. So
How wet has it got to be?
It's extremely. But this is the whole thing, you see.
Right.
And then you got that whole paste kind of texture, right?
Hell, right.
But then you get the other Pringle and you put it together,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of squash it, and then you can kind of see what's going on. But then you put it all back in your mouth.
Right.
And what happens is you just got the crunch, you got the squishy squish, and you got like some weird flavors going on. There's like a bit of cold, a bit of hot. And you know how I like my cold and hot stuff right now in food. And you just roll with it. And then repeat the process throughout the entire tube of Pringles.
What? Fuck off, man.
Right.
Why don't you just get something like mayo? Or just something else?
Again, I have questions. Right.
Please, fire away.
So, how did you come up with this? How did you decide that I'm going to ram eight Pringles into my gob? And I'm chewing them and I'm like struggling to get the saliva around it because that's a lot of Pringles in your mouth.
It is.
How did you then go, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm holding this one Pringle here. I'm just going to spit, push, whatever.
No, we don't need to get crude now. We don't need to get crude with the spit.
How did you go, I wonder what
I kind of gave it away. I gave it away at the beginning. This was created after a feed of pints and it was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right, okay. So you were drunk?
Look, if we want to say that, yes I was. And I looked over and I saw the tube of Pringles and I went, ooh, look at you. And I went over and I picked it up and just started creating. Do you know, I have a cookery show coming onto Food Network soon, so this is how it all came into place.
I knew it was coming, and it's still Rate us on iTunes, 5 stars.
When you said a Pringle sandwich, I was kind of with you because I thought you were going to get 2 slices of bread and you were going to line up your Pringles.
You can do that, but I wouldn't...
And then you mash it. I love a crisp sandwich.
You could do that. But you could do that, but you know...
This is... this!
But make your own sandwich paste, Nicola. Why are you doing just... it?
But if I was going to make a Pringle sandwich, then with 2 slices of bread, I'm going to have to try it with the marmalade.
Oh my god.
That's just the way it is. Like,
the ketchup, I could probably handle. The marmalade, not so much. I think
our Patreon people could come on in and we get all the support and then we can all go for one big meal together. My treat.
We'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye for now.